Welcome to Buzz House, a Baker Tilly podcast where you can hear all the buzz around multifamily housing with all the info you need to help you win now and anticipate tomorrow. Hi, I'm Don Bernards, the principal in charge of Baker Tilly's multifamily housing practice.
And I'm Garrick Gibson, a principal at Baker Tilly, also specializing in consulting on multifamily housing transactions across the country.
Let's get started.
Welcome to the Buzz House. This is Garrett Gibson flying solo today as Don is out. He'll be on our next podcast, which should be airing within a month from now. On the podcast today, we are exploring state and local policy trends, challenges, and potential solutions to the current national housing crisis. The current national housing crisis is characterized by a significant shortage of affordable housing affecting millions of people across the country. Factors such as rising construction costs, labor shortages, and restrictive zoning laws have exacerbated the problem. Currently, a nationwide shortage is at least 1.5 million housing units. Some estimate as high as 7.3 million housing units. Either way, no state has sufficient supply of affordable rental housing. So today we're excited to have in the Buzz House, Baker Tilly's own Jolena Presti, who is a managing director in our development and community advisory practice. Jolena will walk us through her take on the housing crisis and what she is seeing in the marketplace. So before we start with questions, thank you for being on the podcast, Jolena. You know, for our listeners, we like to have sort of an introductory of your background and your role within Baker Tilly's development and community advisory practice. So go ahead and kind of give our listeners that background.
Great. Thanks, Garrick. It's great to join you here today on Buzz House. I am a managing director at Baker Tilly, specializing in development and community advisory services. I have over 20 years of experience, and my background is in urban planning and economic development. So I lead initiatives in housing, urban economic analytics, and site redevelopment with a diverse range of clients, including municipalities and private developers. My team works with clients to guide through various stages of project strategy, planning, and implementation. For instance, we assess community housing needs and we develop housing plans. And more broadly, we develop strategies for project feasibility and site reuse analysis. So this leads to development across all land use types. Today, I'm joining you from the American Planning Association's annual National Planning Conference in Denver, where the hottest topic of discussion has actually been housing.
Great. You're in the state that I reside in. Welcome. So let's dive into some questions, Jolena. So, you know, obviously at the top of the intro, I mentioned the shortage, right? So What are the key challenges in increasing the housing supply to actually meet demand?
Yeah, so as we continue to see this nationwide shortage of attainable housing, there's over 21 million cost burden renter households that was measured in 2023. And those are people that are paying more than 30% of their income toward housing, which is nearly 50% of all renter households. So that's a pretty big number. Key challenges in increasing the housing supply to meet demand include high construction costs, labor shortages, and the regulatory barriers that limit the development of new housing units. And then on top of that, the lack of capital is a big issue. So with changes in federal funding, cities are going to need to team up more with local investors, banks, and philanthropic groups even more. Working together, they'll be able to create new funding strategies, and that will help to provide necessary subsidies, fill in financial gaps that are ever present, and keep building housing at scale. And this work can be done no matter what is happening in the broader economy.
Yeah, thanks for that. And, you know, as far as state and local, what recent policy changes have you seen at that level that have been implemented to address any of these housing crisis issues?
Yeah, as I mentioned in this conference, it's a really big topic, and I'm seeing a lot of, you know, agreement in sort of the top areas of policy change. And so from the local as well as the state level, recent policy changes implemented to address the housing crisis include efforts to streamline zoning regulations, increasing funding for affordable housing projects, and then providing incentives to build more housing units. So a few of the trends include, you know, revising zoning and land use regulations, permitting more density and expanding in areas where there's transit-oriented development, you know, really targeting more growth in those areas, changing regulations related to investor purchases and short-term rentals, strengthening eviction protections, and then where relevant, you know, bolstering housing and economic support after disasters. And then, in fact, in 2023, 2024, which were watershed years for state reform, That's for housing legislation across at least 23 states. Some examples I've seen are legalization of accessory dwelling units, which are called ADUs, changes in minimum lot size, legalization of small multifamily, reducing parking minimums when possible, streamlining the permitting processes, which is a key theme, and then, you know, looking differently at residential and commercial zones or on religious property, which we'll talk a little bit more later.
Yeah, you know, and I've obviously you're here at this conference in Colorado. We've seen a lot of work towards streamlining that permitting processes here as well. What about future outlook? I know you're probably going to be hearing some of this at this conference. How do you see communities participating in solutions related to the housing supply crisis?
Yeah, so overall, the effectiveness of recent policy changes depends on a number of factors, including the alignment of policies with community needs. So every community has varied factors, but there are some commonalities. And what we see is critical or important is the engagement of stakeholders in the policy review process. So having that occur earlier rather than later gets things moving more quickly and more, you know, sort of streamlined. And then by continuously assessing and improving policies, communities can work toward achieving those successful housing outcomes and addressing the unique needs of their residents. We're currently seeing a high demand for community and regional housing assessments. So that's where communities are studying what actually are the gaps, where can they, either from a geography, a location, or just within the market, what are their gaps in terms of meeting the needs of the community for housing? And these assessments will involve stakeholder engagement, market analysis, and the development of policies to address housing shortage and barriers to accessing affordable housing. And then we also do get involved in the permitting process. So helping communities sort of streamline their or fast track, you know, the permitting process to get through so developments can get through faster and not be hung up in within City Hall. The successful implementation of these policies will lead to improved housing availability and community stability.
Great. You know, it's always good to have better streamlined processes from community involvement. It seems to work well. So along with these mechanisms that we've already discussed to increase housing supply, what other innovative approaches will we be seeing more of in the market from your point of view?
Yeah, something I'm really excited about is an opportunity that we're getting more involved in, and I know we collaborate in this area too, is we're expecting to see more traction in the reuse and infill of land. You know, so that's what we're talking about is you have a built community, there's publicly owned or faith-owned land that really could be more highly utilized. And so that process is more of an intervention in working with either the cities or the entity that owns the land and figuring out a strategic reuse plan so that we can address housing shortages, but, you know, we're really building within the built environment, which is nice for infill. So many faith-based organizations or FBOs own significant amounts of land that could be repurposed for housing. For example, a statistic is in California alone, FBOs control around 38,000 acres that could potentially yield close to 400,000 housing units. And as we know, California, we often follow what leads in California often connects to the rest of the country. And so in this case, we're watching this closely and also trying to be part of the solution. But part of the challenge with FBOs and converting their owned land into housing is traditionally they don't have development expertise. They're not in the housing business. So figuring out ways to help, you know, overcome the hurdles, including financing and the entitlement process, and even how to prioritize which sites to start with. So that's an exciting area of growth. Next, I could mention more about the availability of public lands. So nationwide, within communities, there's the opportunity to revitalize neighborhoods. You know, we all see parts of our communities where there's sites that just have been stagnant. This part of the solution is that we could convert stagnant sites, idle sites into new housing, and they're connected within the fabric of a neighborhood, within a community. And then, you know, you're bringing in new housing options. This can help increase density within a neighborhood or a community, and it makes better use of the existing infrastructure already built. And this approach can also help reduce urban sprawl and promote more sustainable development. And then governments can be involved in the solutions where they can help support these initiatives, either through zoning reforms, financial incentives, and again, that streamlined approval process.
Thanks, Jolena. You know, you mentioned faith-based organizations and how much land they're sitting on. And, you know, it's odd because Don and I, we've been focusing in this area a little bit because we've seen a lot of traction within that space as of late. Can you dive into maybe just a little bit more detail how those specific organizations are overcoming their housing challenges, given the fact that they, you know, they have a lot of land that's potential for development there that they're sitting on?
Yes. So, you know, faith-based organizations are often encounter local land use regulations, including zoning restrictions, parking requirements, the like, which really limit the development of their property. And I sat in on a session yesterday that was solely targeted on this topic, which I thought was great because it was a room full of city leaders, planners, who are hearing directly that we have this issue. We have faith-based organizations with tons of land. At the same time, cities are seeing this lack of housing. So I think it's a really good movement that the entities are kind of coming together to understand the need and the potential solution. So part of what we can do to sort of overcome the barriers that faith-based organizations will see is that we need to have more engagement in policy advocacy. So advocating for changes in the local zoning. For instance, in Seattle, they had a 2021 policy which supports faith-based organizations in creating affordable housing by specifically allowing increased density on religious land. We can also see more collaboration with experienced developers. As I mentioned earlier, you know, faith-based organizations aren't often in the development expertise, or that's not their background, that's not their focus. So finding strategies to partner faith-based organizations with developers who have experience in affordable housing and that can help navigate through the complex development process. And this helps the, you know, the faith-based organizations leverage their property for housing development. And then they're on the right path to be sure they're complying with regulations. And, you know, it's a little bit more of a streamlined, quick process. And then taking advantage of favorable legislation. So where there has been change, you know, at the state level or local level, for instance, in California, they have an Affordable Housing on Faith Lands Act. So that has streamlined project approvals and removed zoning, environmental and regulatory barriers on church-owned lands. So this has helped to gain traction in cities like LA, San Diego, and the Bay Area. And so working with faith-based organizations, targeting places that have already established favorable legislation could really be a positive movement nationwide. And then capacity building. So this kind of goes back to building capacity within an organization to understand and manage the ongoing cost implications of maintaining housing over the long term. So, you know, it's great that we have the land, we figure out how to convert it for affordable housing, but then what do? Now you have this property. So figuring out the best approaches for either training clergy and lay leadership to navigate the development process and understand the value of retaining their land relative to their organization's mission, you know, their needs and their goals. And then again, kind of connecting back with experts either in the consulting space or with experienced developers or both, I think is a really positive potential area of focus in a solution in our housing situation now across the country.
Well, thank you for that. I mean, that was really good information. It's always good to hear from sort of a local and state community driven kind of point of view. I appreciate you for being on here, Jolina. And that's it for this episode of Buzz House. So we were talking with Jolina Presti from Baker Tilly's Development and Community Advisory Practice on trends, challenges, and potential solutions for the current affordable housing crisis. So once again, I'm Garrett Gibson.
Thanks, Garrett.
Don't forget to subscribe so you don't miss an episode. For additional resources around multifamily housing, check out BakerTilly.com. If you have a suggestion for the show, email us at buildabakertilly.com. That's B-U-I-L-D at BakerTilly.com. See you next time on Buzz House.